Hi, we're the Young Adult Broadcasters and we're back with a new season of podcasts. This season we're going to be interviewing musicians, thriving businesses and local legends. I'm here with me, Theo.
Holly.
It's me.
And Diana.
My turn.
And
Ewan.
So we're here with Ben, the bassist from Pattern Pusher.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Tell us, how did your band start?
So we met at a jam night and I was looking for a band to join. I just moved to Exeter and Alex, the singer and keyboard player, was running a jam night in town. And so I went along with no expectations, and then we got on really well and played music over a month or two and kind of got to know each other. And then we kind of went from there, really. We were both very serious about playing in a band and yeah, enjoyed playing together, and here we are now.
Next question was
going to
be, how did you meet?
But right, yeah, that's where we met. And then originally we had my brother drumming for us. Then he moved away to Bristol to play with his other band. And then we got introduced to another Ben called Ben Conover, who's a drummer. And he was also at the jam night. This jam night was pretty important for us.
All
there. Yeah.
What happened in one night.
And then it was kind of over a few months, and like, yeah. And then eventually Ben came in.
And then
we've not looked back since.
So, tell us about your latest album.
Oh, yeah, well, what do you want to know?
what inspired you to make said album?
Well, we've been working on a lot of music over the years, and we wanted to put it all together in an album. We actually had an album beforehand that hasn't seen the light of day because we finished it and then didn't feel it was quite right at the time. And we're very happy people and love like kind of making happy music, but Alex, our singer, was going through a bit of a tough time in the year. He'd lost his father and he'd gone through quite a big breakup, and so we were playing all these happy songs and then being like, well, this doesn't really feel like us right now. We're quite sad, actually. So we're like, let's write some music to kind of express that. And like, it's about real life, really. So there is still our happy selves in there, but then there's also some moments of more reflection. And so yeah, that's kind of what inspired it. It's called The Great Letting Go, kind of about letting go of a lot of things and processing that, I suppose. And so yeah, that we've been writing it up at the studio on the high street and recording it over a very long period of time. Some of those songs took over a year of making, and some of them came together really, really quickly. And yeah, that's kind of it, really. You kind of explore from like real high moments of big energy, fun times, through to some low, kind of more introspective, reflective periods.
Thank
that's
you.
Cool. That's really interesting.
So, what inspired you to start writing music?
I kind of just had to. I've always just like had this urge to play music, really. It's not really been something that it's been a non-negotiable in my life, really. I've always just needed to play music and write music. It's one of the few things that makes sense to me. So I've just always done it, really. I can remember writing songs when I was a little kid with friends, like when we first learned instruments, and they were very stupid. And now my songs are maybe a little bit less stupid, but hopefully there's still an element of fun in there.
Do you play in other bands?
Yeah, I do. Like you'll find with most professional musicians, we moonlight in all kinds of different situations. So I play with a band called The Ferrantes, which is a Motown band. We used to practice actually in this building a long time ago. And it's kind of what got me really into playing bass, because I was originally a guitar player, and then there's so many guitar players in the world. I was finding it hard to get started with other things, and then someone asked me, could I play bass in a Motown band? And if you know Motown, like, that is, bass is like one of the most important instruments in the band. And so I jumped at the chance, and that kind of started me off on my journey on bass, and then realised how much I prefer it to guitar. So I do that. I also play, like, I do a lot of depping, where, so it's like you're standing in for a band. So like, say someone's ill or they can't make a gig, a lot of people will like kind of all play with other people. There's like a bit of a rotation within the scene, so then I dep for a lot of people, and then I guess play on people's recordings as well if I'm recording them in the studio.
Do you
So, all over the place. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about your songwriting process?
Yeah, so there's not really like a set process I follow as such. With Pattern Pusher, we tend to like have someone will bring in an idea. Usually Alex might have a lyric or something, and then we will get to work and we'll demo it, where you're making like a really rough recording, you might jam it together, play around, and then take it home and listen to it walking around town. It's just a really rough recording. It doesn't really matter how good it sounds, it's just getting the ideas out, you know, the bones of the song. And then you might go into the studio later and then start either piecing it together bit by bit, or sometimes going for it, attacking it live and just getting it all down together. But I really like writing in many different ways. Sometimes I've got like a little notepad in my phone where I've got loads of little ideas for things that then just useful to kind of bring to people in a session. Or sometimes it's nice to just kind of take a back seat and just nudge. So like if someone's like creating, you don't want to interrupt their kind of flow, you just kind of just sit on the outskirts and just go, yeah, maybe. Or do that again, yeah. But try again maybe this way, you know.
Yeah.
So you're just guiding. Yeah, I guess like there's not really a process as such, but I just kind of see what the situation needs, really.
Yeah.
What other music has inspired your songwriting process?
The list is as long as this building is. There's so many different things. I love listening to quite an eclectic mix of music. I'd say that I guess my heart lies with rock and like alternative stuff. But I mean, I love electronic music, I love jazz, I love hip hop, dance music, you name it, I really do love it all. But I guess like some of my key influences would be, it's such a cliche, but like Radiohead. I'm a huge Radiohead fan. And they're almost like the Beatles, aren't they? You almost can't say them because they're that obvious, but they are amazing. But I like a lot of the classic stuff as well. I mentioned Motown. I love like funk and soul, like and disco, all that kind of offshoots of that. I do feel that influences what I do, even if it might not be the genre for that. So like to give you a good example, I've been producing a band that's kind of like Celtic folk punk kind of situation. Loads of like folky instruments, but then punky as well, and loud drums. So it's very loud and in your face and very fun. But I've been like pushing them to add percussion and add all these groovy elements that is definitely the funk soul kind of influence on me showing. But it's working. It sounds really cool.
How would you describe your music genre?
Oh, well, with Pattern Pusher?
Yeah.
Alternative, I guess, maybe. We've always struggled with that. We used to go with retro pop because had a lot of old influences. I'm glad that's coming across. That's good. But I lately we've been leaning a bit more alternative and a bit more. I don't want to say rock, but like rock.
Yeah, I hear it as like a mixture between like rock and like a slight bit of pop. Like I hear like a little mix and really cool.
Perfect. Oh, I'm glad
that's how I've always had it.
Like if we can toe the line, then I like that. I guess it's hard to fully define some things. We don't have guitars that much, so that normally
I like that. Just keyboard, bass, drums, I like that.
Excellent. Oh, thank you. I'm glad that's working there. Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of where we lie, I suppose.
What made you not want a guitarist in your band?
Well, so I originally played guitar. That is my first real instrument, I suppose. I have a weird love-hate thing with guitar. I kind of love playing it, and then I've been doing a lot of gigs with it lately again, but also kind of don't like it, but also like it at the same time. It's really weird, but I do love keyboards, I love piano, and I love synths, and you can do a lot more with piano than you can with guitar. I'm not saying, not dissing guitar, because you can do so much with guitar too, but it's nice to be different. And it's nice to again stand out. We do get a lot of people come up to us and go, oh, you should get a guitar player, which is kind of, it's funny because they also say they loved it and they go, oh, that was like amazing, loved every moment of that, but you should get a guitar player.
I like it how because there's no guitarists, it makes it a lot more bass led as well.
Yeah,
but I like that. I think that's like
good, right, so it opens up a bit more room, right, for me to do my thing. And I've been trying a lot lately to fill that space more with the bass, and without getting too geeky, I'm like playing very differently to what maybe bass players normally would.
Yeah, which is cool, though.
Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Like bass and then sort of taking lead, I really like that.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's the idea.
Yeah.
And loads of people love bass, like, so bass. Yeah, bass kind of steps forward. But then again, like, sometimes there's moments where a guitar just has to be there, and so sometimes the guitar is just right, especially acoustic. It's like, it's a very nice sound.
Music you play different to music, like your favourite kind of genre?
It is. I think I don't really listen to stuff I make that much. I find it a bit strange. I kind of can't remove myself from the process, so I tend to just make it and then kind of leave it. Although if I'm working on something, I'll listen to it too much and then like go, okay, that's done, I can put that away. But no, I mean, I do really listen to so many different things. So yes, yes, it is very different. But at the same time, working as a producer, you get to work with so many different genres and people. So I kind of get my fix of all the different genres through that. So like, again, I've just been working on something heavy with the Celtic punk band. And then I've like worked with some metal acts, and I really enjoy metal.
That's cool.
But then I also like then some singer-songwriter intimate stuff, you know. That's kind of the benefit of working in a studio, I suppose.
So, where has your music been played?
All over the place. We've had music used in adverts. I don't know if anyone listens to Radio 4 here, but that's some of our songs have recently been used in an advert on Radio 4, which I found out the other day, which is cool.
What song was it?
Happy Place. I haven't actually heard the advert, so I don't know what the situation is, but I'll certainly take that. That's good.
Great song.
We've been played on, like, for a while our music was getting played in like football stadiums before games, which was really weird. Some people were like sending us clips of matches and then you'd hear our music. That's very surreal. I think those are the most like the big ones, I suppose. I've had some music that I've just produced myself played on CBeebies, apparently, but I can't find out where or when again. But I would like to know that, because that's probably the highlight of my career. But no, it's not going to get any better than that. CBeebies for sure.
Yeah,
that's great. What is your favourite music process or technique?
For me, there's never like a one size fits all thing. I feel like the moment you start treating music and creativity like a cookie cutter kind of situation where you use the same things, it all becomes the same. And that's the thing I'm really trying to push away from these days, is like making music that's got as much identity and could only have been done in this place at this time. That's what I'm looking for. But saying that, the thing that I think most people that have recorded with me will say is that I ask a lot of people, as in I will be like, that take was my favourite take ever, you absolutely changed my life, do it again, do it again, like do it again, do it again, do it again. And I make people just play the same song over and over and over and over and over again, way more than you ever think you might need to, but then you it just changes things. People really kind of remove their ego from the performing, so then you just get into like the song, becomes a bit more about the music as well, like you learn the song a bit more having played it like 20 times on the trot. There's just a moment and you have to really experience it to realise it, but like you will just be playing the same song over and over again and you think it can't get any better or clearer, but then there's something just shifts and there's magic in the air, and that's the moment, and that's what I'm looking for. So yeah, I guess that's my production trick, just ask too much of people.
Have you had a favourite person you've worked with?
Yeah, I've worked with some really awesome people. One of my favourites would be John Cornfield, who he recorded like all of Muse's first few albums. Worked with Oasis, Supergrass, Razorlight, I mean, Ben Howard. He's had some stupidly big people that he's worked with, and like going to his house, he's got like all these platinum records on the wall, all these like early Muse demo tapes and things just hidden around, and it was fascinating. And like I mean, so many of his people that he's worked with inspired me growing up, so that was kind of like a dream come true to meet him and work with him, and like we're friends, we chat, our studios.
What
and
did
stuff.
You do with it? Was it like music, like performing together?
We were recording actually, like some of the first Pat and Pusher stuff.
Yeah.
We recorded like most of our like early stuff with him, which was really awesome. And so that's probably the highlight for me, just because he's inspired so much stuff.
So you produced like some of your like old singles and stuff as well?
Yes, yeah.
That's so cool.
So I learned a lot about recording and was just watching him the whole time. Like, that's so cool. Interesting, you're doing that.
That's actually right. Such a cool like, mentor to have him.
Yeah, and I can send him a message anytime and just go, what do you think of this? And he'll probably go, yeah, that's rubbish. Don't like it.
Because I understand you do a lot of because you produce a lot, so you like do miking up stuff as well. Do you have any like go-to microphones when it comes to
things
up on there, like drum kits or
A lot of people talk about the SM58 and the SM57, which without going too down the geeky rabbit hole, they are like the most kind of common microphones out there, but they're probably the most common for a reason, because they're cheap and they work and they are very robust. And it's been said that there's some albums have been recorded with just an SM57, or like many of them, and they only cost about like 80 quid, and they're amazing, and they just give you what you want. They're very like Swiss Army knife of the recording world, and I love them. I think they sound great, and it's kind of the thing of like, if you can't make it sound at least like decent with that, then you're not like doing it right, you know. So something's going wrong, you need to like develop it. But it also really kind of is a reinforcing point for me that it's not about the gear, it's about the idea. And I much rather have like one microphone, an SM57, and the most amazing idea and like really convincing performance over like a mic that might cost like £10,000, and just a boring song or a dull performance. You know, no one cares about what you've recorded it with. They care about the song. They care about the feeling. So that's like my ethos, really. So I'd always go for that.
Because people always worry about that they need really expensive stuff to have like good sound quality, but you really don't. Like,
no, you really don't.
If it's like edited well, or like, for example, like people buy, because like people are worried that they have to buy like really expensive like guitars or drum equipment, but like you can like, you know, you can tune it and stuff, and you can make anything sound really, really good.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, I saw a documentary or like videos about people like was like making stuff on their phone. And like they were going to like big studios and then just plugging their phone in and just producing on their phone, and that was a real moment for me of like, oh yeah,
so cool.
No, it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't.
Sounds good.
We live in like the golden age of this stuff. The fact that like we can just do it all on a phone and have amazing success. It's just about the ideas now. So it's liberating. Be liberated. Enjoy making music. If you're enjoying it, then it's going well. That's the really important thing.
Can you tell us like a funny experience you've had during producing?
Yeah, a funny experience. God, there's loads of times where like people just go mad in the studio, especially if you're holding up in like a space with people for a long time doing the same, hearing the same bit of music over and over and over again. It does like really affect your mind and you start to lose your mind. Trying to think of some funny moments. Actually, I was messing with the band I've been recording the other day, which is pretty fun. So you can put a delay on like different tracks in Logic, which I'm using. So like basically the drummer was playing, but they were like hitting the drum, but then they were hearing it like a few seconds later. And so then I was getting him to do takes and then turning that on. And so then he'd be playing and then everything would be out of time, but he'd be like, oh no, something's going wrong. And then I turn it off and then hit play again, and they'd go, and then just like constantly messing with them basically. So yeah, like that's, yeah, I don't know, that's pretty fun.
He played to click as well.
He wasn't, but he was playing two other people and like
boardroom.
Yeah. That's what you get. Sometimes you just need to like mess with people a little bit.
Continuing with the funny and silly theme. Do you believe aliens built the pyramids and/or the Stonehenge?
No, I don't. I think it opens up way more things that need explaining. Like, once you've got that as an explanation, then you need to explain that, and like it just goes on and on and on. I mean, I don't know. I, I studied archaeology at college randomly. Like, I had a free subject to take, and I was like, this looks quite fun. I loved it, and so I learned a lot about Stonehenge. I can't remember any of it now. Replaced it all with like music stuff, but I remember thinking, oh, this is mad that they brought all those stones from Wales, and I thought it was fascinating. But yeah, I mean, personally, no, I don't think so. I think it was just some pretty cool ancestors of ours.
So the last question is, do you think pineapple belongs on pizza?
Oh.
A real question.
Oh yeah, no, you got me. I think it's not for me, but I think I think that you are totally all right to do it, and I think it's cool to do that. And I love fruit and savoury, like, and my favourite curry has got bananas in. So like, that's another. Yeah, see, exactly. I can see people's faces right here. Like, that's it. I like that. So like, but it's just pineapple and pizza for me.
Good save.
Firmly on the fence there.
I do actually just have one more question that I just thought of.
Fire away.
Do you have any advice for like young musicians who like want to become professional?
Yeah, absolutely. First thing is to just go for it and do it. I mean, that's such a cheesy thing to say, but it really is. Like, you've got to commit.
Yeah.
Expect it to be hard, because it will be hard. And like, I'm still figuring out stuff myself. Don't think you'll ever stop figuring stuff out.
Yeah. You're always learning, like, through music. Always. It never really.
Yeah, exactly.
Really stop learning when it comes to music. I've always
noticed that. Exactly. I think that's it. And the moment you know it all, you probably should stop. You know.
Yeah.
I think probably the thing would be to like meet people, get out there and meet people, and like, if you're someone that feels a bit shy, because I used to be really, really shy. And then I got a job working in a bar. It kind of forced me to meet people and start chatting. Do things like that. Push yourself out of your comfort zone. Fake it till you make it. That's kind of the thing. It's really good to do.
Yeah.
Because really, like, the more your network grows, the more opportunities come your way. And also follow through and always deliver on what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
And if that means doing something you don't think, you're like, if your skill level's, let's say, 60, and then like you're given an opportunity that requires a skill level of say 70, like you're a little bit, it's beyond your means, push yourself to do it, because then you'll get so much better. Like, I've taken gigs before where I'm like, oh, I don't know any of these songs, I'm like really at my depth here, but I'm gonna work to like get to that point. And then when you do that, you learn so much along the way. So it's getting that thing of like doing something that scares you every day, it does ring true.
Thank you for the interview.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Really appreciate that.
I've really enjoyed it. It's been fun. Hopefully you've got some useful things out of me.
Yeah.